and meet you and meet your family members and meet also all the group members of the group of prayers that he did start a few months ago. And I was so blessed to know and find out that there is also a group of prayers here in Nashville, Tennessee. Amen and thank you, Lord. Because that's my mission. Try to speak to the group of prayers of St. Padre Pio and then also try to expand the voice of Padre Pio and the group of prayers through United States. And I got invited in so many churches that I lost my count. So any way to speak about Padre Pio. And I make rosaries because Padre Pio, in my dream, in my 11th and 12th dream that I had in 2010, he made me see all the bad things that they were going to happen into the world. And in the dream, I saw exactly what happened into the, when they had, help me, babe, where are you?
I'm here.
Over in the Asia, there when they had the tsunami. This happened just before the tsunami. And I cried during that dream, and I could not understand why Il Padre showed me all these things. Because I suffered and prayed and cried for a long time. And so anyway, and at the end of these dreams that I saw, the only thing that did not happen yet and is the eruption of a volcano where over 65,000 people, they're going to get injured or dead. And he told me 65,000 people. So I believe what he tells me, but I don't want that to happen. So we need to pray. And then at the end of the dream, I said, Padre, why you show me all these things? They're hurtful to me. We need to love each other in the world. We need to be close to the Blessed Mother. They say, Figlio mio. He calls me Figlio mio, and I call him a Padre Spirituale, spiritual father. And he calls me my son. So I said, he said, all these things are going to happen. War, people killing each other, the tsunami. And at last he showed me the volcano eruption, which I cannot say what it's going to happen. But anyway, it happened, and he said, my son, I'm going to tell you one thing, that there is nobody in the world, nobody in this world that they're going to be able to save this all from all this disaster, natural disaster that they're going to come. The only one who's going to save us is the Blessed Mother, through the recitation of the Holy Rosary. So, and this was between the night of May 3rd. I think it was on Wednesday. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to lie because each lie is 7 years of purgatory that I'll learn. I know I don't want to be for one. That's why I say I'm not sure. But anyway, it was on the 30th of May during the night, and I understood highly that I was going to start doing the rosary. And it was amazing. 4 days later, on the 4th of June, my good friend in Florida, Arturo Campana, is Italian, but he was not born in Italy, and he didn't speak Italian. Say, Gino, would you like to learn how to make rosaries? I say, oh, yeah. With the cord. He said, the rosaries with the cord. I did not know how to make rosaries with the cord at the time. But he taught me, but I said, I remember making rosaries when I was in the seminary. Because when I was little, I went into the seminary with Franciscan over in Italy. And I was there for the high school, and I was there for the 4th and 5th gymnasium. So at the end of the 5th gymnasium, the director of our seminarist, he said, I'm going to send all of you during the summer home that you can have you know, thoughts that you can have with your family members. You know, you guys got to decide if you want to continue to be into the order of the Franciscan and become friar or become priest. So, and he said to us that we're going to send you in Alessano, which was in the same region where I am from, but it was quite a bit south from where I was, in the province of Lecce. We're going to send you for 1 year for the novice year. And then during the novice year, you got to do three vows: obedience, and poverty, and chastity. So, and that happened, that obedience and poverty, I was able to do it. But chastity, I like the women, Father forgive me, I like the women, so I end up not going back to the seminary. What do you want me to do? Be a bad priest or be a bad monk? You know, and then, no, I said no. That's it, I'm not going. So anyway, it happened that I did my life in like a nice man, lightly out of the priesthood. And so, and then everything started being good for me, and I want to go back on the rosary that Padre Pio told me to start doing. That this friend of mine, he taught me how to do the rosary with the cord, and I done lots of them. But I like better the ones with the wire, and I mean, you guys can see how beautiful they are. And I learned how to do that when I was in the seminary. And I say, Arturo, you want to learn how to make rosary with the wire like, you know, I learned over in the seminary? And he said, yeah. But he did not have the patience that I have. You got to have a lot of patience to go there, you know, on each rosary. It takes me about an hour, 1 hour and 15 minutes. Depends, you know. So, and he said, no, Gina, it's not for me. You know, he was kind of not too patient like me. But me, I have a lot of patience. But I got to be honest also with all of you that at the beginning that I started making the rosary, I don't quite understood why, while I was making rosary, I will bit the end of my tongue or the lips. Like, I say, Jesus, I mean, it's certain thing that I do. Why am I going to keep doing this? So I say, Blessed Mother, I'll do as many rosaries you allow me to do. I do as many rosaries you allow me to do what you want me to do. Oh, you gotta help me here with this problem that I have, you know, biting my tongue and the lips. I swear to all of you, I don't like to lie, otherwise 7 years again in purgatory, no. All of a sudden I'm making the rosaries again, but boom, I don't quite bit my tongue and my lips anymore. Say, thank you, Mother. Thank you, Blessed Mother. You answer my prayer. I mean, you gave me the joy now not to have this pain, even though I like the pains, because, you know, if you offer the pains for the holy souls are getting lifted up from the purgatory into heaven. That I learned when I was in the seminary too. So I mean, but it was good. Now I have a pain too in my leg, in my heel. You call heel, is that right? On this one here, I don't know why. So that's fine with me. She changed, you know, my pains from the tongue and the lips to the foot and the leg. Thank you, Mother. Thank you. So anyway, and I started doing these rosaries, and Padre Pio, he was happy. Oh, Madonna mia, he came into my dreams 17 times. So I started in 2010, is that right? It was in the month of June of 2010, I started making these beautiful rosaries, and until now, I made the ones that he blessed, Father Dan blessed this morning, 8,195 rosaries. And I'm giving them out. I gotta be honest with you. The majority of the people, and I do not ask for any donations. But it was my brother Paul's idea, which I did accept it because the rosaries that I made, these are rosaries that I made within a matter of a month or a little bit less than a month. I promise him, because in the month of September I was in Italy for the feast of Saint Padre Pio, there on the 22nd and the 23rd in San Giovanni Rotondo. Oh my gracious Lord, you guys will not believe how many millions of people were there from all over the world. From all over the world. I was so blessed to be there and do the novena from 8 o'clock at night until 3:30 in the morning. And then I end up sleeping in my car because all the motels were completely full and taken. So God made me sleep in my car. What do you want me to say? But anyway, I was so happy. And then when I came back from Italy, I say, oh Jesus, I promised Brother Paul. Me, when I promise something on my own, I do not sleep at night. I gotta fulfill my promise, or else I sin. Otherwise I sin, you know, so I don't want to sin. So, and that's it. I started making the rosary. In the matter of 1 month, I made a little bit over 70 rosaries. That's why 73, 74 rosaries. And I donated to him and said, Gino, will you able, or will you accept the donations for the people? I said, honestly, I do the rosaries to give them out to the people and fulfill Padre Pio's will. That I know, in my heart, I know for sure, 100%, that all these rosaries that I gave to people, probably 10%, 20%, they're praying and using them and praying the rosary. I know for sure not 100% are praying the rosary with the rosaries that I give. But think this, 10, 20%, 30%, 50%, it's better than 0%. So if I make rosaries, I give them out to the people, and now I get 10% or 20% or 50% to pray the rosary, I am fulfilling Padre Pio's will that he asked me. So, and his idea was to get donations for me. I said, no. I pledged myself to the Blessed Mother that she helped me with this problem that I had at the beginning to make rosaries and donate them. So now, what I'm saying at this particular moment, I don't want you guys to say to nobody. Will you promise to me? Will you promise? I only see one little young guy that is going like this. So will you promise to me that you're not going to tell nobody what I'm saying right after these words? Will you?
Yes.
Thank you. Now I heard yes, even though I did not hear nothing from this year, but the sound went on this side. So anyway, yeah, that's true. See, God took this away from me because I don't want to hear the bad things. I want to hear only the good things. So when you say yes, woo, the sound came on this side, and that's it. So I did hear yes. So what I'm going to say is that I spend thousands of dollars out of my pocket to make rosaries, because you gotta buy the crucifix, you gotta buy the medals, you gotta buy the wire, you gotta buy the beads. Some beads I buy them, some beads I don't. Or you gotta buy the chain, you gotta buy the material that you need, the plier, all kinds of things. I spent, but don't say this to nobody, you promised me. Otherwise, 7 years of purgatory by lying. Okay, no, I'm kidding. So, I spend $1,000 because I pledge to the Blessed Mother to do this for a lot of people that they want. They're going to pray the rosary and they're going to fulfill Padre Pio's will that he told me in my dreams, 11 and 12 dreams. So anyway, if you guys give donation, I promise it to you and I swear it to you and I'm not going to lie. All the money are going to House of the Sufferings in San Giovanni Rotondo, which is the hospital of Padre Pio, that he was the founder of this hospital, that he started in 1956. So, and all the money are going there. I promise to you, when I was there, I donate $1,000 to the hospital, Padre Pio's hospital, which in Italian is Casa Sollievo della Sofferenza, House of Relief of Sufferings in San Giovanni Rotondo. I donate 10 and I donate over 500 rosaries that I made before I went to Italy. I don't want to lie again. I started making the rosaries during the winter and the spring, a little bit of summer. So, and I donate, I will say, over 500 rosaries to the House of Sufferings, so the Riliva House of Sufferings in San Giovanni Rotondo. And she was Gina. I'm Gino, and she is Gina with A and A. She talked to me, and I spoke to her on the phone several times, and I could not remember, but she reminded, oh, yeah, Gino, I talked to you on the phone several times. So anyway, it was true. Then I remember. It's not Padre Pio. No. I'm joking. Well, every now and then you guys need to laugh, you know? If you don't laugh, you say, it's getting boring, you know? So that's why every now and then I say a joke, you know? So anyway, it happened that I donate that, and then I donate also $500 with the monks. I want to speak to the monks, because this is what I had in mind. I did receive 8 Rolex, and I am a founder, and Padre Pio in my 8th dream, he told me, you're gonna be a founder of 8 group of prayers, and I'm gonna take care of you. So he take care of the spiritual daughter of Saint Padre Pio, Pinapati. I don't know if you guys have read or heard about her. She was under the spiritual direction of Saint Padre Pio from 1949 until Padre Pio died. She was professoress of English, French, and Italian in Sicily, which is far away from San Giovanni Rotondo. And she lost her job. She applied everywhere in Italy. Everywhere she applied, I don't know how she done it, but she did apply everywhere, but she got the job in San Giovanni Rotondo. And she was atheist. She didn't believe in God. She didn't believe in Jesus, in the blessed. She was atheist. So by her going to move from Sicily to San Giovanni Rotondo, you know, the co-workers of her, the other teachers, they knew about Padre Pio in 1949. A lot of people, especially in San Giovanni Rotondo, started to know Padre Pio and everything. So they tricked her. Why don't you come with us? We gotta go to Padre Pio. I don't believe in God. I don't care. You go to Padre Pio. So they tried 2-3 times. The third time, they finally convinced her to go to Padre Pio and confess to Padre Pio. So, and she went there, and Padre Pio opened the, you know, in the confessional, he opened the little tiny door there and said, what do you have to confess? I said, Padre, what do you mean confess? I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't believe in God, and I do not understand what you're telling me. But these people, these co-workers, they brought them over here, and I don't know what to do. You come into my confessional, and you didn't prepare yourself? Go home! Padre Pio told her he was a little bit rushed every now and then, you know. Go home, prepare yourself, and come back in 2 weeks. She went back in 2 weeks to Padre Pio. Padre, I try, but I still don't believe in God. I said and repeat that for the last time. You go home, prepare yourself, and come back in 2 more weeks. So 2 weeks went by. She goes back. She kneels, and she started crying a little bit at Padre Pio's resort. He said, well, have you prepared yourself? I said, Padre, no matter how hard I try, I still don't believe in God. And Padre Pio saw, and he had the gift of reading the hearts of the people, and the gifts of bilocation and so on. So he said, but God believes in you. From now on, all the kids, the young kids that you are teaching them, talk to them about God, our Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and the Blessed Mother, our Mother, our Mamina. Padre Pio called Mamina Mia, the Blessed Mother called Mamina Mia, my little mama, you know, in English. So anyway, and that's what she did. She started, since then, Padre Pio accept her as a spiritual daughter of him, and they were so close that she will go every day or whenever she could to the Holy Mass of Padre Pio early in the morning and then go teaching. So she did receive in years, you know, after years, these 8 relics, which the first one that I got, it was the cross of the stigmata. And she gave it to me on the 14th of February of 2004. Almost a year, not quite a year, I would say like 8 months before, after I did the first shrine in honor of St. Padre Pio over in Chicago at St. Francis Borgia Church. I said, Gino, I'm going to give it to you. And it was in a way that if I'll tell you the story, that's why I got to watch the clock, that I can talk for 17 hours. So I hope you guys are patient with me. So it was, I was president of Society Santissimo Crocifisso in Chicago, of Santissimo Crucifix in Chicago, Italian society. And the region of Puglia let all the presidents go free in Italy, and we had a convention over in San Giovanni Rotondo. So Pat Capriati, very good friend of mine, he was the leader of all the presidents. He said, Gino, is that okay, you know, if you come inside? I say, oh, my gracious Lord, what a blessing for me, you know. So I met Pinapati in 1986, and this was in 2004. Every other year, my beloved mom, my beloved wife, and me, we go in Italy, and we go to San Giovanni Rotondo and talk to Pinapati all the time. So she gave my baby, you got to take the oil out before we do forget. She gave the blessed oil by Padre Pio Barro that I got here to my wife's in her hands, not to me. I don't know why. She gave it to her, and each one of you has got to be blessed by this oil, which is blessed by Padre Pio's hands. So anyway, I say, Pat, but you got to allow me for a couple hours, being that I'm going to be in San Giovanni Rotondo, I want to go and see Pinapati, okay? Oh yeah, Gino, you're gonna have enough time, you know, and you can go to Pinapati. So not knowing that day I was gonna receive this beautiful, beautiful relic, the cross of St. Padre Pio. And we were talking, we were, you know, on the table, it was a lot smaller than this because she was never married and she didn't have nobody with her. And she was sitting on this chair, let's say, there was a window there. So she was sitting there and I was sitting here and I was looking at the thing. But when I went to San Giovanni Rotondo, this is another thing that you guys got to believe me. Please believe me. When I got to San Giovanni Rotondo, it was okay. And then that morning that I was going to go and visit Pinapati, man, it started snowing and wet the snow that I had the coat and the scarf. They got wet. I mean, completely wet. So I'm going from the church of, you know, where Padre Pio, Maria delle Grazie, Santa Maria delle Grazie. I was walking down, you know, on the street that it goes about 3-4 blocks away from the church where Pinapati lived. I was going down, and all of a sudden, I know it's not him now. So, and all of a sudden, I saw this old man that he had a walker, was walking like this, and he had luggage with the wheels that I was walking, but I didn't see him. It just appeared in front of me right there, like maybe 20, 25 feet away from here to the wall. I said, oh my Lord, how the hell is this guy? I mean, he's pushing the thing, and then he's grabbing the luggage behind him, and then he walks a little bit, and walks a little bit, and again. I said, my friend, you know, everybody is my friend. I said, my friend, but I was speaking to him in Italy. I said, I mean, you want me to help you to bring the luggage, you know? I don't know where he came from. I do not know. He said, yeah, I saw you. Yes, yes, yes. But he was walking, he was giving me his bag. I don't quite understood why he said, yeah, I saw you and I know you can help me. At that moment, I was not thinking what he said. And then he said, yeah, you know what? You see all those two ladies down there? I saw two ladies that they were at the bus stop. You grab my luggage, you bring it to them and leave it to them, and when I'll get there, they're going to give it to me. And at that time, I said, okay, I'll do it. But I was not thinking what happened. I mean, because and then later on, I said, oh my gracious Lord, maybe it was Padre Pio that he wanted to see if I could help him or maybe get my coat even more wet. I thought that later. So anyway, I got to the thing and I was running because now, you know, I only have a couple hours. I left the luggage with these two ladies, like they knew already that I was going. And I said, see that old man that is coming with the walker? Please hold on to the luggage. He's going to come over here and he's going to get it, and then he's going to wait for the bus like you guys. So I left and I went to Pinapati. So we were talking, pina patis here and there, and I was looking at the window, see, hey, my gracious Lord, let the snow stop, otherwise over here. So I had the coat wet, and pina patis say, I thought you were not gonna come no more because all the rain and the snow. I say, no, when I promise something, I would like, you know, to fulfill my promise. So he says, okay, take your coat off, hang it over here, show me where to hang it over there. And when you're gonna be leaving, it's gonna be nice and dry. I said, okay, I'll do whatever. He said, I sat down, start talking with her, we're talking, and then all of a sudden after 10, 15, 20 minutes that we're talking and I'm telling her all the things that I love to do and everything, she says, oh, wait a minute, Pigino. I said, please do not speak no more. Because il padre is telling me something. So, man, I get goosebumps talking about that. I say, wow, I don't know what Padre Pio is telling. I hope it's something good and not bad, otherwise I'm going to be looking like... So, she got up from the chair, and there was a door there, and she went inside, which I did not know. I'd never been in her apartment there. And they say, I was curious. I say, told me that Padre Pio is telling her something. That means that Padre Pio is in there? Oh, me, curious, and I got up. And she didn't close the door all the way. She opened it. I mean, she left it open a little tiny bit. So I got up and went to see where she went and what she was doing there. And all of a sudden, ba-boom, she's coming out. That's it. I lost my curious that what, you know, what she was doing in there. She came out. She sits over there. She opens up this cloth, and she says, "Your padre told me to give you this." When I saw the relic, I started crying. I said, "Pina, are you sure?" "Il padre told me I'm not going to go against his will." He gave me the relic. I went back to Chicago and I donated to the church. A few years later, I go back. She gave me another one for the church in Sarasota, and then she gave me the glove. No, Wanda Sari gave me the gloves. So anyway, I got 8 relics altogether, and the last one I had, I donated to the Filipino group in Oak Brook Terrace, where I started this group of prayers about three and a half, four months ago, and that's a nice, beautiful group that they gather every single Friday. They sing, they pray the rosary, they let me lead the rosary, and they sing beautiful songs that they pray and pray and pray. So I love that, and I talk of my love Diane there, and she loves it too, so it's a beautiful view. And I donate, which was the clock that Padre Pio wore on his chest, on his wounds here. There is lineament of war and blood on that clock, and I donated to them because that was the last group of prayers Padre Pio told me. So anyway, and that's what I did. That was my last one, and I am a founder of 8 group of prayers and donated. But I promise you, next year, if I have a chance to talk and I'll get any other relic, it's going to be for your group here. I promise you that if I'll get it, it's going to be yours. And when I promise something, I'm going to keep my promise. But if I don't get anything, you guys got to forgive me and you guys got to accept what the God's of will is. But if I do receive it, that was my intention when I went to San Giovanni Rotondo. Oh my gracious Lord, if I have a chance to speak to one of, I set up the appointment for 2 or 3 times with Fra Carmelo. But Fra Carmelo, they were busy in that 2 days that I was there, 22nd and 23rd of September, that he was not available. And I understood that because there was millions of people over there confessing and, you know, I mean, they done such a wonderful job that I was absolutely amazed. And from here, probably to this nice, beautiful man here, that keep your beard, your color. Now, don't copy from me. Yes, I've got a beard with all the colors of the rainbow. Brown, black, white, blue, but anyway, you keep it that way. So from here to there, they had in procession with, I would say, over 200-300 priests from all over the world in the middle of the island there, the heart of Padre Pio. And after a few days that he was there, they brought it to the Filipino. I don't know if you, the Filipino, like, there are a few Filipinos here. They brought it to Filipino for a few days, several days. But anyway, going back, when I was in the seminary, I forgot to tell you this. When I was in the seminary, we were 51 seminarists of us. And they took us to Padre Pio over in San Giovanni Rotondo. I was in Barletta, and that's about maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes, if you will get traffic from Barletta to San Giovanni Rotondo. And when they took us over there, at the end of Padre Pio Mass, in the hallway where Padre Pio's cell was, where Padre Pio's room was, they put us in the hallway, half of us here and half over here. I remember exactly where I was. I was on this side of the hallway, and his room was about maybe like 30, 35 feet down in the hallway, long hallway. So, and he blessed each of us. He was going, you know, everybody with his hands on top of it and blessed all of us. So I was like maybe fourth or the fifth, you know, from the first seminarist year, fourth or fifth, I don't remember exactly. I was standing there, and then he put his hand on my hand, he blessed me, and he looked to me like he knew me. I figured that out later, and I'm gonna come up with that. He looked at me for 3, 4, 5 seconds. Do I know you? He knew me. He knew me because, yeah, I get goosebumps again, because I was blessed when I was in my mom's womb. In 1950, my mother, she did not know that he was expecting me. She was expecting me. She did not know. So it happened that in my town, there was this guy, his name was Pasquale, Pat, American Pat, Pasquale, that he had a nice, wonderful dump truck, but he started bringing people during the week. Let's say he worked, and when he didn't have that work, he called people, or it was around my town, Rutigliano. It was a voice around that he's taking people to San Giovanni Rotondo to Padre Pio. So, and he built nice, you know, around the truck on the bed, seats over here, and on top of the canopy. This way, when they were driving, which is almost 2 hours of driving from my town to San Giovanni Rotondo, he put the canopy, you know, for, and people were, actually it was cold a little bit, especially, you know, if it was winter time. In the summertime, not too bad. So anyway, at the last minute, one couple that they were gonna go with Pasquale to San Giovanni Rotondo, and somebody, they canceled. My mother did not know why. And she said, hey, Caterina, my mom's name is Caterina, she's still alive, she's gonna be 95 years old on December 3rd. So, and she said, Caterina, you wanna go to see Padre Pio? You know, because one couple at last minute, I got my daughter, you know, she's only 2 years old. I'm gonna ask my husband, my dad, if he can take care of her, the 2 years old, my oldest sister. Yeah, I'll go. I love to go see Padre Pio. So anyway, my mother asked my father when he came back, you know, from his land, because he was farmer, kind, better than me, not like me. He was a lot better than me. That's what I learned, to be a farmer. So anyway, and he went, she, you know, she came, I mean, he came back from, she asked him, hey, Peppino, Giuseppe, Joseph, Peppino, Pasquale wants me to go to see, oh, yeah, don't worry about it, I'll take care of Chiara, Rina, you know, the daughter, my oldest sister. Yeah. Oh, she gave the answer to Pasquale. Yes, he was very happy, and, you know, he filled up the you know, the seats on top of his truck. So they went to see, so she had the blessing to be confessed by Padre Pio, received the Holy Communion there. And then at the end, you know, the women's at that time, they put the women's in line in the sacristy, and Padre Pio will go and bless everybody. When he got to my mother, he says, Caterina, my mom, I went to confession, but I didn't tell him my name. How can that be that he knows my name? But anyway, you know, all this. Katerina, I bless you. But when you go home, you're going to have a big surprise, huge surprise. No, my mom did not know what surprise. She accepted. So, and she went home. You know, the women, they have the monthly, you know, menstruation or period or whatever. She didn't got it that month. Say, oh, my gracious Lord, what's happening over here? I'm expecting. Peppino, I'm expecting. If he goes, oh, my, it's an error, you know, the month or period that they come. So she was expecting me, and Padre Pio told her that, you know, she was expecting me. Unbelievable. So anyway, and then since I was, 4 or 5 years old, I led the road. In the street where we live, every night, my grandmother, my mother, and a lot of people into the same street, they gather and they pray the rosary. So I was little, and I learned how to pray the rosary since I was a very little tiny. At 5 years old, I started leading the rosary inside of the church of Santissimo Crocifisso, where they were also monks there with the whatchamacallit, Padre Mario and Padre Giuseppe, Padre Mario. I don't know in English, but Mario is Italian. Padre Giuseppe, Father Joseph, the old monk, they sent me to the seminary. And I was there for 5 years, but like I said before, I like women, so I didn't want to be a bad priest. And yeah, but from 5 years old, I led every night at 6 o'clock. And a lot of people, they still remember me, but a lot of people died, you know, because. And they still remember me that I led the rosary. Since then, I never stopped praying the rosary. So one thing that I'm going to ask you guys, I'm doing these rosaries. Yes, Paul gave us the good idea to all the donations to bring them over at Casa Sollievo della Sofferenza, which is a hospital that a lot of people go there that they don't have no money. And they get helped, and then they get sent home when they are already in good health, you know. So, and we need to do that. So don't feel oppressed that you're gonna have one of my rosaries and you're gonna donate. If you don't have the money, take the rosary, and then, you know, you don't have to donate it. That's my personal opinion. And then also it's a good cause where the monies are going to go. So anyway, and then going back on my story, he started coming. Well, actually, the very first one, it was a vision. The first, I'm not going to say dream. He has come into my dream 17 times, but the last time was on February 3rd of 2014. I was making rosaries, and I had the Blessed Mother into my house right there, and he knocked at the door, and it was February. It was cold in Chicago, and the door was closed and everything, and I heard the knocking. So I got up, I left, you know, doing the rosaries there on my table, and I went to the door, and Padre Pio is there. I say, Padre, what are you doing over here? He said, don't you see that it's cold, figlio mio? My son, can you see it's cold? Open the door. Scusami, Padre, scusami, enter. So I opened the door, he entered. The Blessed Mother was there on top of a nice, beautiful cloth that I had with the beautiful flowers, not fresh flowers. It was stamped on the. Oh, quelli sono I fiori che la mammina mia gli piacevano. Those are the big, the beautiful flowers that the Blessed Mother loved so much. And that was last time that I saw him into my dreams. And on the February 3rd of 2014. The four is Pina Patti's relic, first relic. Since my wife died, you know, my beloved wife died, my memory is a little bit fading now. It doesn't continue. But anyway, going back, it started in 1993. And my beloved wife's niece was very sick. So they took her to the Loyola Hospital in Maywood. No, in Illinois, near Chicago, not too far from Chicago, not too far at all. They took her over there and, you know, to see if they could help her with this illness that she had. No. They even treated her and made it worse. So she was there for about, I think, a month or a little bit less than a month. They sent her home. They say there is nothing you can do. We can do for you no more. They sent her home. They say maybe 1 week, 10 days, you're going to die. So start getting your stuff, you know. So I come back from work that day, and my wife is crying. And I say, Patsy, why are you crying? She said, they sent Giovanna home, and she's going to die. She's going to die in a week or 10 days. I said, no, don't believe that. Don't believe that because she's very young. She's got the son, only 14, 15, 16 months old. It cannot be that the son, Rafael, is going to be left alone by, no. I started praying all night. I fell asleep. And then at 1:10 in the morning, I got up. I woke up again, and I started praying. I fall right away. I fall asleep. And Padre Pio comes into my dream and says, my son, he answered my prayer. Said, my son, call George, which is her husband. Call your nephew, George, and tell him that he's going to bring Giovanna to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. So I said, oh, my gracious Lord. I'm sorry. I can never stop crying when this happened to me. Anyway, before I went to work, I said, maybe I'm not going to work today. I don't care. But I want to listen to what the Padre told me, and I'm going to call George. So I got up early in the morning. I said, George, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm calling you this early in the morning. You got to forgive me. And you got to believe me what I'm going to tell you. Because Padre Pio, they knew about me already, you know, that I was very devoted to Padre Pio. Padre Pio told me that you got to take your wife to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. It's about seven hours away from Chicago. So he said, you call them. So he knew how to go online, I guess. I don't know. But he got the phone number and everything. Me, I'm old fashioned. I do not know. If you give me the phone number, I'll call you. But I got to go online. Forget about it. The line comes to me, but not me to line. So anyway, went online and called over there. And we have a long list, about a month and a half. If someone cancel, maybe we'll put you on the waiting list, and then we'll call you and you bring her. They call me. They say, Pat, Uncle Gino, they have a list of 1 month. I say, no, you call them now. If Padre Pio told me that you got to call them, you got to call them and tell them that this is an emergency. Oh, he calls again. Oh, this is an emergency. You know, you got to accept her. Why didn't you tell us from the very first phone call that you made that this was an emergency? You bring her to the emergency. So this was on Wednesday. It was between the night of Tuesday and Wednesday morning. So I don't know, where did he find the private plane? I guess online. I don't know. He find the private plane. They took her from Chicago to Mayo Clinic because she was not in good health to drive for 6-7 hours. They took her over there. And this was on Thursday when they went there. They went there on Thursday. They made all the tests and everything. On Friday, they gave all the results. They mistreated her, and they were giving medicine against, you know, what, you know, she was gonna get. So when they gave her all the results and everything, and they started giving the cure and everything. So George, they told him, you gotta call one of your relatives in Chicago, and we're gonna have to order this special medicine from this special pharmacy in Chicago. We'll give you the address and the phone number. They're gonna go there, pick up the medicine, and they're gonna have to bring him over here. So he told me everything, you know. I guess he went online again to find out my route to go there. I did not know. At that time, there was no GPS. Now you got the GPS, you got the phone. Boom, 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 boom. They tell you, make a left, make a right, take this exit. They got a nice, beautiful voice, those ladies that they put on the inside. Yeah, I'm telling you. Did you guys use them?
Yes.
Yeah, I said, oh, thank you. You know, when they helped me. So anyway, So you got to take I-90, you got to go west, you got to exit and this. I said, okay. So I went down in Chicago. Man, this pharmacy was three times bigger as this. I did not know. So they gave me, because they call from the Mayo Clinic, they call and order the medicine. So they gave me a bag full of medicines there. I don't know if they were, injections, syringes, or whatever they call or pill. I don't know. It was in the bag, and that's it. I took the bag, and I say to my beloved wife, I say, Patsy, and I say, Katya, you want to come too? This way we'll go see, you know, Giovanna, your cousin, your niece, you know, we'll go see how she. I knew that she was going to be fine, because if Padre Pio told me to bring her over there, they were going to help her. So anyway, I got the medicine. I put, at that time, not even a month, I purchased the 1994 Lincoln. You know, before, in the month of September, October, they come up with the next year cars. And so I, beautiful, beautiful car, you know, big car. You know, I was very blessed by the Lord that I was making money. So I purchased this beautiful, beautiful car that after, you know, it happened, the story of Giovanna that I'm going to keep saying, my father and my mother, for the very first time, they came from Italy. And I went to pick him up from the airport with this car. He says, oh, my gracious Lord, I feel like I'm the President Pertini of Italy. You know, Presidente Pertini, this new big car. You know, my father in Italy, they have, you know, the three-tire scooters or whatever, you know. They don't have big cars like we. I feel like Presidente Pertini. At that time, the President of Italy was Pertini in this car. I mean, we laugh about it. So with that car, my wife and my daughter in the back seat, I'm driving in it, and they fall asleep. And me, I'm praying and praying and praying rosary. That's what I do when I drive. I don't even know how to turn my radio on. She does. You do, is that right? Me, I don't know. But anyway, now we learn, because she does have a nice, beautiful disc to inside of my car, that they pray the rosary. So we pray the rosary with the disc too, but first we gotta fulfill our promise. And that's another thing that I would like, you gotta remind me later about, you know, whoever prays the rosaries. Who prays the rosary once a day, one rosary a day? There are quite a few people. Later on, remind me, Brother Paul, I'm gonna talk about whoever prays the rosary. You pray too, better than one, so you are in that list. So anyway, so I'm driving, and this was around 1:30 that we left, 1:45 in the morning, because I want to be there very early in the morning at the Mayo Clinic, because it's about six and a half hours of drive. So I'm driving a plane, and my wife and my daughter, they're sleeping in the car, and I'm praying and driving. So I got to, I think it was maybe like another hour or so before I was going to get the exit to go to the Mayo Clinic. You know, all of a sudden, it started being light in the morning, like around 7 o'clock, a little bit light, you know. And I have this Camry that it was beige, you know, the color was beige, like that purse there. Like that one, not that one, that one there, yes. The same color of that thing there. This camera on front Camry, Toyota Camry, on front of me, I remember it. Then all of a sudden, I'm getting closer and closer, and Padre Pio's picture is in the back windshield of this car. I said, oh my gracious Lord, I see Padre Pio. They must be Italian like me. They are devoted to Padre Pio, and they have the picture of Padre Pio in the back windshield. I have it on the front of my windshield on the passenger side, Padre Pio, but it's this big, you know? It's not that big. I said, oh, they must be Italian. They have Padre Pio's picture, beautiful, beautiful, you know? So I'm praying and praying then. I said, well, I want to see if they are Italian. I'm curious. So there are two lanes, and I'm following the car on one lane, the first lane on this side. Ooh, I move the car. I, you know, pull next to it and driving. I look, they were Asian. Oh, my gracious Lord. I did not know if they were from China or Japan or whatever. They were Asian. I mean, you can tell. Don't be offended. I mean, this lady that I was driving had the Padre Pio's picture there. Well, listen. I said, oh, wait a minute, Asian? Do they know Padre Pio? I did not know. This in 1993. Now, a lot of Filipinos know Padre Pio. That's their favorite saint. But anyway, maybe Padre Pio is known in the entire world, I think. I slowed down a little bit, but woof, I went back to the car again, to the Camry. Now I'm praying still and looking. I'm gonna wake up. I'm probably, you know, seeing Padre Pio, and then I'm going to say, hey, Patsy, wake up. Did you see Padre Pio in the windshield? She wakes up. She goes like this. No, I don't see Padre Pio. She was sleeping for about five hours or even 6 hours, something like that. No, I don't see Padre Pio. Okay, she's sleeping, forget about it. Katya, wake up. Did you see Padre Pio in the windshield? I mean, young lady, 17, 18 years old, she will see Padre Pio. I mean, you wake up, it's not like, you know, you're 45, 50, you'll see Padre Pio after the prayer. Say, no, I don't see. Not even my daughter will saw Padre Pio's picture there. Okay, she's probably like her mother. She got it from her mother. forget about it. So keep it following the car, and now all of a sudden, Padre Pio started smiling at me. Padre Pio smiling. I knew then that Giovanna was going to be okay. And Giovanna, after a few days, not even 1 week, she was there 5-6 days. She got released with all this medicine to take home and everything. She's still alive until now. Very, very devoted to Padre. She is. Because she knows that she's still alive because of Padre Pio's intercession to our Lord. Now about the rosary, I don't want to forget because it's nice and beautiful thing.
Oh,
my gracious Lord, yeah, I forgot about the car. Good thing, baby. Oh, I'm telling you. So I'm driving before maybe like 5-6 miles, 7 miles. I didn't pay no attention. I started snowing, wet the snow on my car. Oh, my gracious Lord, I slowed down a lot. I mean, it was snowing a lot and wet that the road's like ice. So I slow down and go slow. And I read that the exit, he gave me the number, I forgot the number, what it was, of the exit. So I said, oh, we gotta get off here. So I slowed down very slow. But you know, the exit, the majority of the time, they have a little bit of a slope down, the exit, the road. And all of a sudden, I lost control of my brand new car. And my car spinned two, three times. And there was this big, huge concrete for the light pole, you know, that they put on the road. Big concrete. Oh, and I say, Padre, please, not my brand new car. I don't want it, you know, special. And Paul, you know what he said? And that's true. I never thought of that. Brother Paul said yesterday, you were thinking about the car and not your health or your wife's health? That's true. No, I was thinking, I swear. I didn't say nothing. Please, Padre Pio, help me and my wife and my... No, I say, please, Padre Pio, no, don't let the car be, you know, all smashed up. Oh, you will not believe, after I spin, and the column was right there and I lost control of it, the car, after I scream about Padre Pio car, about 1 inch, 1.25 inches, or 1.5 inches away from the concrete pole, nothing. And my wife and my daughter, they were crying and screaming. Oh, my car. I went outside, I looked at the car, I swear. 1.25 inches, 1.5 inches, this far away from the concrete column. So Padre Pio stopped the car there too. And this that I'm gonna tell you, so when I went there and left the thing, I told them the story and everything, they started crying, and you know, my sister-in-law, which was Giovanna's mother, George, Giovanna, I told the story about, you know, Padre Pio's picture, and my wife and my daughter, they didn't see it, they started crying. They knew that she was gonna be saved, that she was gonna be healed in a matter of a few days, and that's exactly what happened. So now this that I'm gonna say now, oh my gracious Lord, where are we, Brother Paul?
10:30.
We have time?
Yeah.
Okay. This is something that happened to me this month when I went to Italy. My brother's son got married. He got married, so I don't know why in Italy they, you know, they have weddings, but they don't have no weddings during the day. They have the weddings at night. The reception was at 10 o'clock, 11, 12 o'clock at midnight. So anyway, we went to the reception, and on the way back, we were driving on the highway, and this accident did not happen in front of my eyes. Did not. But I saw the car all rattled, ba-da-boom, 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 ba-da-boom. My brother was driving the car that we were coming back to go back home. And his wife on the front and me on the back. And I looked, you know, we were praying the rosary, all three of us. And I'm looking and this car all smashed up and the doors open on the middle of the street. I said, Tony, park on the side, go forward a little bit. This way the cars, they can run. You know, it was 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. They can drive away from this. But then at the same time, I got to help these people. I did not know. There were 5 young people, 2 boys and 3 girls in the car. So I helped them out, all 5 of them. And you know that there is the concrete wall that divides those lanes and this lane. So I got each one out of the car. I told them, you guys stay here. And stay calm, and like they were crying. And so when I got them out and the other cars started coming, I stopped the traffic. I said, stop. Yeah. Someone come and help me. You know, aiuto. Qualcuno che mi viene ad aiutare. Please come and help me because all by myself I need some help. Nobody came out, but with the lights of the cars and the big semi truck that was behind this number one car that I stopped right when I stopped the traffic. Because I don't want them to run over the kids. And so, in Italy, I mean, you know, it's a little bit crazy the way they drive. If you go there, you gotta be careful. Or maybe I should say, do not drive. Let somebody else drive from Italy, you. So anyway, I went there, I got a little help, and I said, you guys stay here. Well, the two boys, they didn't listen to me. They want pick up the car and take it out of the street and roll it. See, the road was like a little bit like this, you know, up this way and down this way. They want to roll the car and put them on the side. This way the cars could go. And no, you're never going to be able to throw the. I said, you guys stay there and hold on to the 3 girls, and I'm going to take care of the car. I don't know how that I done it. All by myself. Nobody came out from the traffic that I stopped. I lift up the car. I mean, the car was heavy. But at the same time, ba-da-boom, one time. I went again, ba-da-boom, the second time. So I got out of the street. And I'm not thinking what I'm doing. So I got the car out of the thing because the boys, they want to go the opposite way that I wanted the car to go. There was emergency lane here. 3 lanes here, and then there was another emergency lane where my brother was with this car and my sister all in. And so I put the boys by the wall, the concrete wall there. So they started crying. Not even one single scratch. Each one. Not even one single scratch. I cracked the door and got them out and put them by the wall. And then I rolled the thing, the car. And then they were crying. This young lady was crying. I said, hey, you gotta be lucky that you don't have not even one scratch on your body. Don't cry. Why you're crying? Oh, my mom, let me use the car, and we went to the feast. And now what am I going to tell my mom? I said, well, you can buy a new car, but now you're alive. You could have been dead, you know. So, and then all of a sudden I see, you know, the police coming. I said, oh, my gracious Lord. I'm from America. Now, if I gave them my name here, what's going to happen? You stay here, see the police are coming. They're going to help you, and don't worry about it. Forget about the car. You got to buy a new car. Don't worry about it. Car, the insurance can pay for the car, but if... So I didn't quite pay attention that these people were drunk. My brother and my sister-in-law, they were in the car, and they saw everything. They say, Gino, this young people, they went to a party or whatever, or a bar or whatever they went to dance, and they're coming back home and they were drunk. Could you see them instead of me? I didn't pay no attention at all. But my brother and my sister, they were drunk. And then they said to me, you rolled the car twice, but how did you done it? I mean, I knew that I'm strong. When I was crazy young man, I used to lift up 600 pounds from down to here, but Jesus Christ is more than 600 pounds. But I lifted it, and then later I said, gracious Lord, how did I done it? But above, in me came right away, Padre Pio. I knew that he did that because there was no way as a human being for him to lift up that big car twice, not once. Even my brother say, I don't quite understand how. But me, I was not thinking. I was trying to help the people at that time and not thinking, what was I doing? But my brother said that my sister said, I mean, we are absolutely shocked that you lift up. And the two boys, they want to lift up and go the other way. They were not even be able to pick it up a little tiny bit, nothing. They say, no, you guys stay by the wall. I'm going to take care of it. And I don't. So, I mean, that's what God, you know, directs me to do the majority of the time. So thank you, Brother Paul, and God bless you. Now, going back on whoever prays the rosary, at least one rosary every day. Think highly to become spiritual daughter or son of St. Padre Pio. But also, along with one rosary, minimum one rosary a day that you pray, you also got to offer, in honor of St. Padre Pio, one holy mass in one month, okay? Let's say in the month of November, when you go to the holy mass on Sunday, you say, Lord, I offer this holy mass in honor of St. Padre Pio. And the third is, and this is really hard because we are human beings, but also we got to understand that God, he is very merciful. Try not to commit a sin. Try with all your strength, with all your spirit, with all your will, not to commit a sin. If you are able to commit to these three things that I said, you got to try to do, you can become spiritual daughter or son of St. Padre Pio. But the most beautiful, and these are the words that Pinapati told me, when on that day that she gave me the 14th of February of 2000, and of 2004, she gave me the relic, said, Il Padre told me that he will accept you to be his spiritual son. That's when I came spiritual son of it. But you gotta do these three things. So if she told me that, I am also return those words to you guys. If you're praying the rosary once a day, minimum one rosary every day, and you offer one holy mass in honor of St. Padre Pio once a month. It doesn't have to be, if you cannot make it, let's say when he does have a Padre Pio like this morning, Padre Pio's group, that's beautiful if you do it. But any mass, any holy mass, when you go, you say, Lord, I offer this holy mass in honor of Padre Pio because I'm spiritual daughter or spiritual son of St. Padre Pio. And try not to commit the sin, and I'm repeating it, try to not commit the sin. You can become a spiritual daughter of St. Padre Pio. And God willing, next year, me and Brother Paul, we're going to be talking. And if you are willing to become a spiritual daughter or son of St. Padre Pio, next year when I'll come back, I'm willing to stop again. We can do the prayer, we can do the blessings that you can become a spiritual daughter or son of St. Padre Pio. But the most beautiful promise that Padre Pio made to all his spiritual daughters and sons of him is that at the doors of heaven, he's going to wait for us with these arms open and accept us in heaven. Take it seriously. I firmly believe that. So please, take seriously this beautiful announcement that I gave. God bless you all and thank you for allowing me to speak. I promise all of you, from this day on, I'm going to have you all in my humble prayers, Father. Okay? Thank you, thank you. And thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you for your hospitality and this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing that you've done and allowed me to do, okay? Now about the rosaries, like I said, you guys can choose. And Brother, yes, I do have also the oil of St. Padre Pio that it was given and not into my hand. By Pina Patti, it was given to my beloved wife, Patsy. And I wrote over here because I didn't want to forget. See how old this thing is? St. Padre Pio's oil, blessed by the Padre, given to Pasqua by Pina Patti, spiritual daughter of St. Pio, in San Giovanni Rotondo, 1998. So everybody is going to be blessed with this oil. And I was going to say another thing. I have also, oh, Jesus, we are there. Marondo. Is it more than an hour? What is it? I don't.
We have time?
Yeah. So in 2007, I went with the group of a pilgrimage, Catholic pilgrimage. Oh, she's going to go? She's going to have to go. Absolutely.
Can I interrupt you just
No, for I'm sorry, but she's going to have to go. So you
can mean a lot to me, so come over here.
Yes, yes, please, please.
Okay.
If you
I'm
have
sorry.
To go, no. I do understand. I do understand.
I've got a 17-year-old daughter
I'm
here.
Sorry.
I do perfectly understand that. So
I'm sorry.
This is very precious, so.
I feel really bad. I'm sorry.
What is your name?
Jacqueline.
Jocelyn. Jocelyn. This boy is a humble man. Spiritual Son of St. Father, and you are blessed in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God, through the intercession of St. Father, you help you always in your life to be free from sins and be free from any illness and be a nice girl that God wants you to be. Again, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
No. Don't be sorry, please. Don't be sorry, please. That's nice. So anyway, in 2007, we went with a nice Catholic group. The majority of this group, I did not know, to Fatima in Portugal, Lourdes in France. So in Fatima, when I pray my rosary, I have to wear my crucifix. In Fatima, I think it was like 5 or 6 o'clock before the procession, they were praying the rosary in the plaza of a Fatima church there in Portugal. And I got to tell you, the majority of the time when I pray the rosary, this crucifix that I wear and I have this crucifix, I do not know over 20, maybe 25, 30 years, I don't remember, to be honest with you. If I'll tell you a year, I'm going to be lying, and I don't want to lie. So I have this crucifix that many times it remains a beautiful, beautiful perfume. And sometimes it's stronger than other times. So we were in Fatima, we were praying. And me, I speak English, I speak French a little bit, Spanish a little bit, and English and Italian. So I speak about four languages, let's say. I understand lots of French, but I speak Italian good, English and so on. And Spanish, so and so. And they were praying in Portuguese, Italian, English, French, Spanish, the rosary. So me knowing, you know, how to pray the rosary in four languages, that I also forgot to tell you, I am a founder of the International Rosary Group over in Edison, Illinois, at St. Philip the Apostle Church. You're gonna be leaving? Oh, okay, because if you're going to be leaving and not coming back, I would love to bless you. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. So, I mean, I promised that I was going to bless everybody, so I would like to fulfill my promise again. Otherwise, I'll be failing, I will feel guilty. So, anyway, so we were praying, and all of a sudden, the crucifix, and these people around me, they heard me praying in almost all the languages except the Portuguese. These guys. Must be international, you know. No, I'm Italiano and Americano. I do have the passport, you know, of USA too. But anyway, they were looking at me, but then also the crucifix started emitting perfume. I said, my gracious Lord, I don't want to be embarrassed by all these people around me. I mean, it was so crowded, and it was my wife here, and then all of a sudden the crucifix started emitting beautiful, beautiful perfume, and have been stronger and stronger. I mean, from something that it's regular, you know, you don't hear nothing, and then you hear it, people start going. I say to myself, I say, Madonna mia, help me over here, you know, because I don't want to be embarrassed with all these people. Anyway, at the end of the rosary was so strong that people were asking me, hey, why this smell? What do? You spray perfume? I say, no, that's my crucifix. So around me, everybody wanted to touch and kiss the, and all the crucifix, and I allowed them. But if that's what God wants, that's it. No, we went from there, we went to Lourdes in France. And me, during the night, I wake up and I got to pray my rosary, okay? So, and at that time, we were about maybe 3-4 blocks away from the grotto of Lourdes in one hotel with the group, you know? But we were going to be there 2 nights and 3 days. For me, in the morning, when I wake up, instead of praying the bed, I say, hey, it's not too far. I walk to the Lourdes grotto, and I go there and pray my rosary right on the front of the Blessed Mother. So, and there was this guy, his name also Pasquale. I could not figure it out why Pasquale comes into my life many times. So it was this guy that he was taking care the grotto for all the, you know, preparing the altar for all the priests, that every hour they sign up there, every hour they go and celebrate the Holy Mass. So this name Pasquale, he was also, I figured it out later, I did not know it the first day. So. And he will come to me and introduce himself. I'm sorry, but I got to interrupt you for your praise. You got to get out because at 6 o'clock, the priest, you know, they come and start celebrating the Holy Mass in the grotto. You cannot be right here in the grotto on the front of the smile. You can go and sit at the pew and you can keep praying, you know. So we start talking to each other, Pasquale and me, we start talking. I spoke to him at the beginning in French because it was French there. And then he saw me that I was stumbling a little bit. You know, he said, well, you can talk to me in Italian. Right away, he knew that I was Italian. I talked to him in Italian. He spoke also Italian very fluently. And his name was Pasquale, and I figured maybe he is, you know, from Italy. Well, anyway, so every morning he will come for 2 days. Say, you know, you got to get out of the thing because, you know, I got out of the thing. Finish my prayers around 8:30. I will go back to the motel and to the hotel. Wake up my wife, and we'll go around with the group, you know, wherever they were supposed to take us. So, and then the third day, we start talking. And the third morning, it was our last day over there at around 11 o'clock. Everybody has got to be back to the hotel. This way we can leave with the bus. That we were going to go, I forgot where they were going to take us. I mean, it was not a spiritual place. No, it was not Catholic. It was somewhere else, and I don't remember where it was. In Spain. It was in Spain and to see the castles or whatever they. But I was not interested in that. I was interested more in Fatima and Lourdes, the Grotto Lourdes. So anyway, they say, at 11 o'clock, everybody's got to be so. In the morning, again, I got up, and then I went to pick up my wife from the thing, and I said, you want to go and, you know, thank the Blessed Mother for all the good things that happened to us, and then also we stay there for the Holy Mass. So you guys will not believe what happened to me. I mean, being there for the very first time, there were 2,000-3,000 people around that time already, a lot of people. Early in the morning, not that many. Around that time, around, you know, 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, a lot of people, 2,000-3,000 people for sure. So Pasquale, that he was, taking care of the grotto and the altar and everything, from far away he saw me, and we were like, I mean, 200 feet minimum 150, 200 feet away from the grotto. So he saw me. Runs to me, says, you know, you got to do me a favor. You got to help me today, this morning. This is an Italian mass that they're going to be celebrating. You got to help the priest being the altar boy, you know, serve the Holy Mass. And then, man, I got goosebumps.
comes and I say, Jesus, what are the chances me coming over here at Lourdes in France for the very first time? And I got to also give the communion and help the priest giving the communion to so many people. So I say, okay, I accept it. So I went into the sacristy and everything. And that morning, I forgot, he opened up because he had the key from where the Blessed Mother let the water flow exactly at the, you know, at that particular spot. That then the pumps from there, they put them in the cistern that they built later, and the people go there and they open up the faucet, the faucet, and the water comes out. No, that morning he said to me, Gino, I'm going to give you one bottle, plastic bottle, like a half gallon or something like that, that I still have. I'm going to give you the water coming from over here. He opened up the thing, he gave me the water, he put it in the bucket. First, we went into the sacristy, he filled the bottle for me, he gave me the bottle, and I was so happy. And this is some of the water that I got from Pasquale, from inside. So anyway, so I said, yes, I will serve the thing and I will be a minister, because I told me that I was also minister of the Holy Communion. And then all of a sudden, when I went into the sacristy, there was a priest with a long beard. And the night before the procession of the Blessed Mother of Lourdes that they bring around the grotto there, we were on the bench sitting, my wife here and me there. Oh, we're praying the rosary in Italians. And this guy, that he was dressed like me with the long beard. He didn't look like that he was a priest at all. So he sits right next to me, and we're praying the rosary, and all of a sudden, he joined us to pray the rosary in Italian, because my wife and I, we prayed always in Italian. But at the end, he said to me, you know, I'm very happy, and that you guys are praying the rosary so intentionally, so spiritually. So I said, Father, I said, thank you. I mean, you know, you pray the rosary with us too. You're doing a good job too. I did not know that he was a monk. And I did not know that he was from San Giovanni Rotondo. And he was staying at San Giovanni Rotondo where Padre Pio was until the morning when I went there to serve you. The service Holy Mass, and Pasquale called me in the sacristy to help the priest. And I go with the, and I saw the padre, you know, the monk there with the beard that he was praying the rosary. Oh, my gracious Lord. So he's a priest. I did not know. At the end of the Holy Mass, when I saw that he had the thing, the tunic of Padre Pio, because when you're going to go for the Mass, you cannot dress like me or like you, like that, you know, like Larry. No. I say, Padre, why didn't you tell me? Gino, what in Italian? Che cosa ti dovevo dire? What was I going to say? That I'm a monk? I'm a priest? Yeah. Where you are from? San Giovanni Rotondo. San Giovanni Rotondo. You mean you're staying where Padre Pio stood for many? Yeah. I went there. In the seminary, when I was in the seminary to visit Padre Pio, and he told me that I was going to be a monk and this and that. Unbelievable! So what a great honor for me to go there for the very first time. And then I want to say thank you to Pasquale for giving me that great and beautiful honor to serve the Holy Mass to the monk of San Giovanni Rotondo. I don't know how all these things, you know, are put together. I cannot explain them. I can only tell everybody what is happening to me. I cannot explain it. So anyway, I go to shake hands to Pasquale, okay? So I go there to shake hands the Pasquale's hands. Brother Paul, can you help me? So come here, please. So, and this is the grotto, so I went into the sacristy there. Pasquale was right on this side of here. So, and the night before, when my wife and we were praying the rosary there, I say, Blessed Mother, let me have one piece of the rock of your grotto that I can take with me in the United States of America. So he's in the sacristy. I didn't see nothing. I went like this. I say, Pasquale, grazie mille per avermi dato la gioia
the serve the Holy Mass and give the Holy Communion, and I started crying. And he said, "Junior, why are you crying?" I said, "Because last night I was asking the Blessed Mother to give me peace over the rock on the ground. And now we start crying too." He said, "Pasquale, why are you crying?" And Gino, believe me, I never done this to nobody. This is the very first time in my life that I'm doing this to you. How do you explain this other thing? Only God's will. Only the Blessed Mother. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Blessed Mother. I love you, Padre Pio. You guys are always with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot thank you enough, dear Lord. I mean, I can only speak to you and tell you what happens to me, but I cannot explain it. I cannot explain it. I can't. So, you guys want to believe? Believe me. A lot of other things are happening beautiful to me that I can explain. This lady, she was in Florida. She was an old lady. Well, not too old, maybe 70s, 80, you know. And she comes to me at Padre Pio Mass and says, "Gino, I have a daughter in Arizona that she's dying from cancer." And I blessed her. At the end, after I finish to bless everybody, she comes to me. "I have a daughter there in Arizona that she's dying from cancer. Can you give me..." No, these are the tears of my on my glass. Anyway, yeah, I'm sorry. It does happen to me because I cannot control myself. They're beautiful, beautiful things that I fetch any money. Each one of you, if you had these things happen to you, you would have cried too. But anyway, forgive me. So she comes at the end of the Mass after I bless everybody with the oil. And she says, "You know, I have my daughter in Arizona that she's dying from cancer. Can you give me a little bit of the oil that I can send to her?" So I went. I don't remember exactly the store. I went to buy those little tiny, tiny, tiny bottles, you know, plastic bottles. I put a little bit of oil in there. And she came and got it from my house, and she sent it to her daughter there. She comes back the next month to Padre Pio Mass. She says, "My daughter went for the test. She's free of cancer." How do you explain that? And I had the feeling, but I said, "You know, you sent it to her and tell her to bless and to believe that God miracles do happen." 1 month later, I find out that she had no cancer. She was not going to die no more. How do you explain that? I don't know. I can only tell all these beautiful things that happened to me, but I cannot explain. But God is good with us. And one thing that I think, but I'm not sure, it's a little bit different from the majority of the people, I cannot say for you too, is that I believe, not 90% or 99% or 99.99%. I do believe that God loves us. The Lord Jesus, He died for us. He died for us. And the Blessed Mother is always with her arms open to accept each one of us. So I believe 100%. And a lot of people, you know what they tell me? "Gino, why you pray to Padre Pio? Pray to God." I say, "Yes, I pray to God. But you got to understand that when a saint, that he is already there in heaven with God and with Jesus, and with the Blessed Mother, and with all the other saints, when you pray to a saint and he intercede for you, or for you, or for you, or for anybody of us, any one of us, when he intercede, believe me, we are going to be maybe closer to God, near to Jesus, and near to the Blessed Mother when we're going to be dying. But now that we are on earth, we are all sinners. I consider myself to be the great sinner of the world, because I am a human being
And I do fail also like everybody does. But if we believe that our Lord, He has died for us on a cross, and He is the saved, the Savior of all of us, believe me, He is the Savior of us. But we gotta believe not 80% or 90% or 50% or 99.99%. No, we gotta believe 100%. So if you do believe that, things, good things do happen to you too. Take this, what I said just lately, very seriously. Very seriously. No human being is capable to repeat what our Lord Jesus has done for all of us, for the entire humanity, not at this time, not after, not at our time, and not at future, for all eternity. He is in heaven for all eternity, and we have to copy from Him and from all the saints, because the saints are the people that they lived before us. But you cannot be saint until you die. They lived before us and they followed Jesus' steps. And that is the reason why the church canonized, you know, these wonderful, wonderful people like Mother Pio. And believe me, one day you too can be saint. If you're not saint for all the humankind, yes, I know, time out. If you're not saint for all the humankind, you're saint in heaven, with the Lord, our God, with Jesus, and with the Blessed Mother, and all the saints, along with Padre Pio, that He's going to wait for all of us, spiritual daughters and sons of Him, with His hands open. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Blessed Mother. Thank you, Padre Pio, again. So now, whoever wants to touch, or kiss, or hold the rock of the Grotto of Lourdes, and be blessed, please come forward. Be in line, this way we don't make a confusion, you know, so be patient.